Thank you for choosing to listen to our sermon podcast. My name is Chris Mitchell. I'm one of the pastors here at First Covenant Church of Anchorage. If you have any questions or prayer requests, feel free to stop by.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Chris. I'm one of the pastors here. And I have the blessing to be able to share with you today. Now, until I became a teacher, I'd never really stuck with a job. I'd usually work for a few months, and I'd do pretty well at the job. But then, after doing well for a couple months, there would inevitably be talks about promoting you or giving you more responsibilities, and I didn't want any of that, so I'd quit. I just didn't want responsibility. I was involved at my church, and I had a very heavy social schedule, and I don't know why I'd want any more responsibility than that. And now part of that was because I didn't have a family then. I didn't know what career I really wanted to do, so I didn't want to, invest the time in that. So I didn't need the money. And I used to measure my life by my keychain. Like, how many keys were on my keychain? Because every key, represents like commitments of time and energy and resources. And I really worked to keep my keychain as small as possible. And in some of the places I lived, I didn't even have a key. So I had one key, just the key to my car. But usually I had two. Now fast forward to today. The day I started at this church, Pastor Phil Cannon, he gave me his keychain. And this is his keychain. Look at that. And he said that he kept trying to take keys off, but he just needed all of these all the time. So he kept them, and then he gave them to me, this big old wad that's in my pocket. Now, how did I go from one key to this responsibility, right? All of these responsibilities. Well, I did it for love. I loved my family, and I wanted to provide for them, right? So that's just part of a job, developing a career. You get more keys. But specifically, I love the body of Christ. I love the church. And so I accepted more keys. And I did it because I was faithful. God has given me this opportunity to grow in my faith and perseverance. This was my time here, was my first full-time ministry position. And I wanted to say yes, things that God gave me. I wanted to be faithful. So I took more keys. And I did it for mission, right? God has given me certain gifts that he expects me to use to further his kingdom. And I found that pastoral ministry was the best place for me to express those gifts. I'm committed to the mission of God. So, I took more keys. Over the past few weeks, we've been talking about belonging. We've been talking about the mission of God and how we fit within it. We've talked about the Evangelical Covenant Church and how it's organized. We've talked about this church, First Covenant Church of Anchorage. A particular church in a particular place with a particular history and how you might fit within it. And we've spoken about Jesus and your value and preciousness for him. But today we're going to be talking about you. Because all healthy relationships are partnerships, where each party is invested in one another. And basically, relationships means more keys, more responsibility, responsibility to keep things safe, right? Responsibility to make sure that that you can do the things that you're entrusted to do, and responsibility to open those doors for other people to come in. And the way that we're going to be talking about this idea is through church membership. Now, I want to make something clear. You don't have to be a member to be a part of our church. Okay? You don't have to be a member to be a part of our church. You don't have to be a member to participate. You don't have to be a member to give. You don't have to be a member to serve in most positions. But there is some value in membership. A membership's like kind of making it Facebook official, right? It's like, it's there. It's a status. It's saying that this is the place where I'm committed to participate, I'm committed to serve, and I'm committed to grow. Now, we like to think of ourselves as just having a me and Jesus relationship. After all, we do emphasize a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But that relationship, as with every relationship, is nurtured and grown within the community. After all, when you get married, you say yes to a person, right? You say yes to a person, but you enter into a family. You enter into a whole body of people speaking into your life. Likewise, you're saved through your relationship with Jesus Christ, but you walk into a relationship with all these brothers and sisters in Christ. All sorts of people. And the goal of this community is to disciple one another into Christ's likeness. Okay? To help one another look like Christ. And after all, that's the goal laid out in Hebrews 10, 23-25. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we professed, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day of Christ approaching. We are called to belong together, to be together. And now, unfortunately, the biggest problem with having people together is that people are messy. And people like to do their own things. And so you got to have some sort of organization. Otherwise, it's just chaos. You have to have some sort of way that you're gonna set things up. And this is biblical. You can see this throughout the Bible. You can see it in Acts when the disciples gather together to appoint Stephen as a replacement for Judas. Okay? They're gathering together like, we've lost one of our disciples who Jesus, picked out. We need to find somebody to replace him. We need somebody to do this job. And so they appointed Stephen. We saw them when they gathered together in the early church to appoint deacons to serve the Greek widows. Okay? They had to organize themselves. Or even to discuss theological things, like whenever they discussed how to incorporate Greeks into the church, right? Because the church is primarily Jewish. We see this in the letters to Timothy, a young pastor, as he's given instructions on how to organize a church. Okay? There has to be some sort of organization. Now, different denominations, different churches organize themselves differently depending on how they interpret the scripture. That's, like I said, that's how you organize, that's how you interpret the scripture. Some churches, the individual members, they don't have a lot of responsibility. They're elders that are chosen, that make up all the decisions. Some churches have leaders that are appointed from the larger organization. And so the local church doesn't have that much. Local members don't have that much authority. But we're a congregational-led church. And that means the members of the church lead the congregation. They elect the pastoral leadership. So, right, whenever I came before you, you guys, the members, they voted on me, whether or not, like, I appeared to be gifted in the areas, appeared to be qualified, teachable, all those types of good things. When Pastor Christie came on board, same thing. When Vince came on board, same thing. So the congregation decides that. They also elect. Lost my train of thought. So the pastors, we're responsible for spiritual care and day-to-day operations. Just day-to-day making sure the church is going. And but the members, they also elect from amongst themselves to form a leadership team, and they provide oversight over the pastors. Right. So I report to them, who in turn report to all of you. And they evaluate the ministries of the church. How are things going? And they also create the church budget, which is an important theological framework of how we're going to invest the funds of the church to make the greatest impact on the kingdom of God. And then the members, they meet regularly at least twice a year to get updates, to vote on new leadership, to approve or amend the ministries and budgets that are set up by the board. But in other words, it's the members who hold. They're the members are the ones that have all the keys. They have all the keys. They have all the responsibilities of the church. And we do this because we believe that every believer is given the gift of the Holy Spirit that leads them in all righteousness. And therefore, every believer should have a voice in the church, right? Because in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor Greek, male nor female, educated or uneducated, village or city, or single or married, you know, for we're all one in Christ Jesus. And that's a little paraphrase of Galatians 3:28. Any believer has the potential to serve in leadership as the Lord calls. Membership, it's important for our functioning. It's just how we function. Because the local church isn't just a spiritual idea, though. It's actually a legal organization, right? It's a business, right? It's a body that lives someplace, right? In a particular place, in a real place. So it's guided by that place's laws and regulations. Okay? Now, we can dispute what those regulations should be, but just like, you know, we have physical bodies and we're spirits, there's actually like a physical entity, kind of. And so, we have to have a framework for what constitutes a member. What makes up a member? And it's not attending church for your entire life. Okay? It's not donating your time or your money. It's not sending your kids to a children's church or youth group. That doesn't make up a member. Now, obviously, those things are important. But there's also a declarative aspect. You actually have to decide. Like, I'm going to be a member. You don't just kind of end up there. All right? It's like a couple that's dating or even a couple that's living together. They're not necessarily married. You got to make a choice. Okay? You got to choose. Now that's all the reasons why the church needs members. Okay. But here's why you need the church. Why membership's important to your spiritual health. Now, whenever I was praying about this, I made up big lists. But really, I narrowed the list down to two things. Number one, commitment's good for your spiritual health. Okay? Now, like I said before, salvation, it happens between you and Jesus. But that's the first step into a lifetime of discipleship. You're saved into a body. That's Romans 12:4-5. For just as each of us has one body with many members, so these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. You hear that? Each member belongs to one another. We belong together. We belong to one another. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, we're told that the Holy Spirit works in each person in a way for the good of all. So for my faith to work right, to express itself right, I need you. And for your faith to work out right, you need them, or you know me. We work together. So it's who we are, the gifts that we're given, they're given to us so that we can help one another grow in faith and righteousness. In other words, you are you for all of us. Okay, you've been made you for all of us. And that's one of the reasons why I hammer on themes of, I talk about racial justice a lot. I talk about reconciliation and gender equity and things like that. Mostly because we just need each other. We're not the fullness of the body of Christ unless we have one another. And it's hard to get the benefits, the rewards of a shared life of faith outside of commitment. It just is. Because relationships, you know, which I've kind of tried to make the case, is a cornerstone of faith. They require time, trust, forgiveness. Okay? Any good relationship needs those things because relationships are going to get rocky. Because if you're in a real relationship, there's going to be conflict. And that's good. There should be. Because that means you're invested. But it's also good to have a real commitment there, to know you're actually invested instead of just throwing out opinions, you know, dropping bombs here and then out the door. And membership is a formal commitment. Because really, an abstract commitment to one another, one that's really just in word only, that often brings shallow growth. Just like we talked about last week, just a general confession, like general confessions of sin, often bring about superficial healing. The local church is a concrete expression of the members' commitment to a shared kingdom vision. And I don't know if that's convicting to you, but that is super convicting to me. So convicting, I'm going to say it again. The local church is a concrete expression of the members' commitment to a shared kingdom vision. All right. Now that leads me to point number two. And there's only 2 points. So we can do more good together. Now, it's better for the kingdom for us to be together. Now, every once in a while, God will call somebody for some sort of solo endeavor, right? Or maybe partnered endeavor. But for most of us, it's just our thimbleful. It's our 2 pennies added together with everybody else's that get the job done, that do the work. Paul, when he made missionary journeys, he would collect for the church and for the poor in Jerusalem, okay? Just as we collect for our friends in Madagascar, all right? Just as we collect for our friends in Elam, for our pastors that raise up funds. Now, I don't usually like to share the model of the early church in Acts 2, mostly because it's so idealistic, it doesn't really talk about all the problems that happen in, like, you know, Acts, the rest of Acts. That's only the second chapter. But it is a kind of a pure model of what the church should be. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. People gathering to learn and to grow, to see miracles happen in one another's lives, to give what they have to help those amongst them that were in need, share life. That's what the church, that's the model of the church. And as these people, as we do this, we form a little outpost, okay? A little oasis here in the city where people can see the kingdom of God here on earth, okay? Now, we don't live up to the ideals of Acts 2. And even as we read through the New Testament, we don't see the church live up to the ideals of Acts 2. But all the churches are based on that idea, right? Joining together to care for one another. Right? Like I read earlier in Hebrews 10, right? Consider how we may spur one another on to love and good works, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. We gather together to encourage one another, and that forms our corporate testimony, a testimony of all of us, right? We have our individual testimonies, but we also have a corporate testimony. What does the church do in the community? How does the church live? What is the effect of the church on our city, on our neighborhood? Being joined together for the good. And that's why we're part of a denomination too, right? Where we can send one another out to villages, right? Oh, so that we can hear about the needs in Elam and go out there. So we can hear about needs in Gullivan and go out there, or Mountain Village, or go out there, or Shaktulik, okay? So we can send teams to these places, and we can send teams all the way to the school that we partner with in Madagascar, all right? Because when we come together with our time, with our money, with our talents and our gifts, we can do great kingdom things, things that matter. And those are just 2 practical reasons, just practical reasons why commitment is good for us, right? For our spiritual health and for doing good. And those are reasons why you should join the local church. Now, as I said before, you're welcome to be part of our church without being a member. You are welcome. You can participate in almost every way except for voting and serving in leadership. In almost every way, you can still serve. And some of you have really good reasons for not joining a church. So some, they're just old hurts, old things that have been done. The ways church is wrong with you, and you just need healing. Some, you know, you're new to the community. You're just not ready, okay? Okay, not to be ready. Some, you're still trying to figure out your relationship with your old church. And so you're kind of moving. You're not ready to change that yet. And I understand. You're welcome here to participate in life fully here. But at some time, I hope that in time, you'll be able to join. And if not us, then another church. Because relationships, they don't really work the way they're supposed to if you withhold yourself from them. They just don't. And that's true with marriage, that's true with friendships, that's true with the church. It's pretty much all relationships. They don't work the way that they're supposed to if you're withholding. All right. Now, the past five messages have pretty much been the Covenant Church's membership curriculum. All we did was adapt it for our context. But you don't need to have gone to the class to join the church. This is just something to help you guys know. Now, normally if this is a class format, we'd ask, are there any questions? So I'll just ask that right now. Since this is the last one, and we're moving on to a different topic next week for the rest of the year. Are there any questions about the church, the denomination, or anything else? I might not know the answer, but I might call on somebody who does, and they might not know the answer either, but we can look it up for you. Okay. Now, this is how you become a member. It's pretty easy, but there's safeguards because, remember, memberships provide the leadership, and they set the direction of the church. One, first, you speak to a board member or board representative to talk about your faith story. You tell them how you came to faith, how that faith's been expressed. Remember, this is a two-way relationship, so you have to get to know each other. You know, just to make sure we're compatible. Not that we're going to be in total agreement. We don't have to be in total agreement. But our disagreements shouldn't be on the fundamentals of faith in Jesus. Then they'll pass your name onto the whole board. They'll tell you your story, and we'll pray about that. Maybe we'll ask you some questions if there's something troubling. And then the board will present you to the congregation. The congregation approves you. Okay, that's a little three-step process. Then you're introduced to the church, full member. Now, I know that's a lot different than some churches. And I know that culturally there are some differences of what makes a person a member. Because I know people that have gone to church here, like, their entire life. But when I showed them their membership list, they were shocked to find that they weren't on the membership list. Because they were like, I've been here since the 70s. What do you mean I'm not on the membership list? I'd love to just say, like, I'm sorry, let's put you on the membership roll. But when the church was formed, they decided the process of how to become a member. Okay, I didn't decide the process, the church did. And unless the congregation decides to change that process and criteria, that's the process and criteria we have to follow, okay? Because the church, congregation, they're the ultimate authority. So, this is what we're going to do. In the narthex, there are three copies of membership rules. Three copies. So, I'm going to say we're going to take a short break, maybe 5 minutes, and it's time for you to do three things. Say hi. Say hi to someone. I see a couple people that, like, I haven't seen before. This is your first time. Well, this is kind of us showing you our underbelly. Like, sorry, you get to hear all of our membership stuff. That's not kind of ideally what we'd like to show the first time, but you know who we are now. So greet somebody, say hi. Two, check the roles. Make sure you're really on there. If you're not on the list and you consider yourself a member, let me know, or let a board member know. I don't think there's too many board members here. I think there's just Lisa and, oh, Catherine. Lisa and Catherine are the only board members. Can you guys raise your hands just so we can see? Let them know, too. Let them know, and we can try to fix that. If you'd like to be a member because you've been coming here, let me know, and we can work on that. Okay, this is the third thing. There is a short four-question questionnaire in the bulletin. And it is about meeting with a staff member, with myself, Pastor Christie, Sarah. It's about becoming a member. And it's about your thoughts about reintroducing singing into our corporate, into our worship service. It's only like four or five questions. It's very, very short. Most of them are like, you know, circle the right thing, which, or what you think. But fill that out, drop it in the offering box. That would be great. We're just trying to get a pulse of where you're at. So you have a five-minute break in the middle of the service. We don't normally do this, or usually we do it in the earlier time. But let's take 5 minutes to do that, and then I'll gather us up, and we'll finish the service in 5 minutes. All right? I'll set my timer. I'll push start this time. All right, let's regather. If you didn't have time to fill out the little form thing, feel free. We're going to be collecting that for the next couple weeks, and they'll be online as well. There's a Google Doc version. So, but we just want to know where you're at. It's hard to get people's feelings on something like that because I feel like we only hear extremes. And we don't know how the church is doing, honestly. But church, I hope that you've seen as we're gathering, what we want to do as a body is we want to learn from one another. And we want to see miracles happen in our lives. We want to celebrate when there's healing. And we want to celebrate with you when you're liberated from bonds of sins that you've harbored in your heart. We want to be able to share that when it happens to us. I know I want to be here when your children come to faith and they start showing a spiritual awakening. I want to be able to cry with you when your heart's broken, because if you're going to be living in this world, your heart's going to be broken. And I want to encourage you when you feel like you have nowhere else to go. That only happens as we just spend our lives together. It happens with time. Those things don't happen in an instant. They happen with time as we invite one another into our homes and into the special places in our hearts. And as we do this, I do believe that this little group here, this little church, could be an outpost of the kingdom, an embassy of the kingdom of God here on earth in Anchorage, Alaska. Because that's what God's called us to do. That's what God's declared us to be. So, please pray with me. Holy Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the scripture, Lord God. And we pray, Lord, that what needs to take root in our lives takes root, Lord. Lord, we pray for good harvest, for good fruit to come out of the good things that you're putting into our lives, Lord. We do pray for those who have been considering being a member, for those that have thought they were a member, just to find out, oh no, I'm not. we pray that we can kind of fill ourselves out a little bit, that we can know how we're invested in one another. So thank you for the opportunity and the time and the space to do that, Lord. And Lord, I do pray that you open our hearts as we move to our next stage of worship, Lord, where we celebrate your supper, Lord, when we welcome one another to your table, Lord. Lord, I pray that we come with open hearts to receive what you have to give us, Lord. In Christ's name, amen.